Welcome, everybody, to the latest edition of the Polish Guy Podcast.
It's the Polish Guy.
We have a model American of the week.
Holy crap, that defense is good.
Let's get on to the lighter side of things.
Holy crap, that defense is good.
They are who we thought they were.
They'll find a way to win a couple of games that maybe they should.
All things sports.
And everything in between.
Polish Guy Podcast.
Hello, everybody. It's everyone's favorite time, and that is a beer cracking open.
Yes, it is.
Welcome back. It's the best time of the year, and it is the NFL Preview Podcast, the best podcast every year, and I'm going to just go ahead and do this right now and remind everyone that we were exactly right last year. Oh, wait, I was.
Yeah, about I was the Super way Bowl. Off.
I was right about the Super Bowl. I dressed up for you. I'm a little offended.
I know, you wore a tie.
I'm wearing a tie, folks.
With a jersey. Which, if you didn't know this guy, and he opened up the door and there was just a jersey and him wearing a tie on there, you just think he's psychotic. So.
Thankfully, everyone knows that I am psychotic.
You're not that psychotic.
But a little psychotic.
Yeah, I wish I had Twitter, because I would tweet a picture of you in your jersey and tie.
I might have to do that.
I think you should, because no one, like, people see, deserve I'm scared to that, see you in this kind of fashion.
I'm a little scared that people will realize just how fat and ugly I am. That's the thing. Like,
you can't beat up on yourself. Just let the clothes do that for you.
Thank you. Anyway, folks, not sure. We might do a little break in between. There might be piss breaks. The cool all Genesee beers are flowing. Yeah. And, look, it's going to be a good time. General thoughts on the season. I have to say, everyone uses the same rules when it comes to playoff teams. And I had a lot of time on this, and I was thinking a lot about it. I don't see the same trends. It's that roulette fallacy. You know, when all of a sudden you think that... you know, if you see three reds in a row and you think it's hot and you go, oh, I'm going to bet everything on red.
That's usually when I do that.
Right. And you do that and then, oh, there it is. It's black four times in a row.
That's usually the result.
So this idea that I agree that in the recent wild card era, we've had six in, six out, and one last place team making the playoffs. This year, I feel that we've had the most unique offseason in a long time. The teams that are making transitions, those teams that are the ones that are last to first, are usually teams making transitions, and that coach is able to put things together, instill some of his personnel, and a team like that can be successful. This year, I don't think they've had the time.
No, I think there's going to be some surprises because of that. You're going to see like an opposite effect, like... You know, teams aren't going to see, you know, a team being very good out of nowhere. You know what I mean? It's if that made any sense at all, please let me know.
I knew what you were getting at.
Yes.
I just find it less likely. And especially...
It is less likely, but they're still going to, like... for example, like, new coach, you know, new system. Like, say the Browns come out of nowhere and surprise people this year. That would poke a hole in your theory. But I think that, like, there could be, like, a team like that that might surprise people that shouldn't this year.
Well, it's funny you would say the Browns, because of the people to blow up that idea. I mean, I do have four new playoff teams. I don't have six, and I don't have a last-place team.
Why not?
Making the playoffs. I just don't see the turnover. It's, you know, when you have an offseason like this, I think you go with the perennial teams. So I think you got to – I think Pittsburgh's going to be good again. Because what they did is they smartly signed all their own players, and they tried to infuse more on their offensive line.
Right.
And then they got another new toy in Cameron Hayward. And we'll get to the Steelers in a little more detail than this, but, you know, they got another new toy in Cameron Hayward, who is probably a perfect flex end for them.
Yes.
And it's the teams that have the same structure as before, I feel like, they're going to continue to be successful because the teams that would overtake them just
And I think that's a logical point of view. I mean, anybody that has, like, a half brain in their head would feel the same way. You know, because that just makes sense. You know, continuity. You know, those are things that breed winning. Continuity, same system, same quarterback, same players, veteran leadership. That's what people with at least half a brain would think, that that could happen. Now, I, on the other hand, think that every last place team is going to be first this year.
Brilliant. Now,
I'm going out on a limb.
Brilliant.
It's proven science. It's going to happen. I would love to see that happen, actually.
I would, too. And that's the thing.
You know who wouldn't? The NFL.
Here's the thing. Like, even last year, I think I got 8 playoff teams right. I got the Super Bowl right.
Yeah, awesome, dude.
I know.
You're so awesome.
By the way, go back to the Super Bowl podcast. I also have the greatest description of what was actually going to happen in the Super Bowl that you'll ever hear. Remember that. You doubted it. And remember, the failed Steeler comeback actually happened.
Yes, that is true. And I was happy to see
that. I'm just buying time, folks. This isn't necessarily a pat on the back. This is so you listen for the next 2 years when I get like two playoff teams right in a row.
Yes. Well, there's nobody that can give anybody credibility better than themselves.
Right.
You know, that's how I do it.
But
you want to see my references? Let me go get them. All right, this guy's awesome.
Please put your pants back on.
Yeah. Well,
that's not how we do things here.
It's just how I walk around normally.
You've been watching porn way too much lately.
Actually, no. On the contrary, I have not.
Well,
6 hours is
folks. The structure is the same. We're going to go through each and every team. If your favorite team exists, if you're listening, watching the NFL, listening to this podcast,
what's the NFL?
I think actually, I don't have a contract yet, but somehow I'm still contractually obligated to say the National Football League.
Okay,
yeah. I'm Ron Jaworski.
Yes,
since I'm Polish too.
I can see the correlation.
Yeah, clearly.
All right, are we jumping right in? What's the game plan for today? Of course, I have no prep at all in this.
I know you have no prep. I have prep.
It's all improv, baby.
Yeah, improv is fine. What we're going to do, we're going to go division by division. And so there is no giving favoritism to anything. I just go alphabetically. By division, we're going to do the AFC first, and we're going to do the NFC. I don't know if this is going to be one podcast or two. I don't know if we're going to split up in the middle. I'll probably give times online, but you know what?
That's quite a cliffhanger for the audience.
Well, we'll still have Model American, but...
Is it sweeps week?
It is sweeps week. That's why I'm wearing the tie.
Well, it's pre-sweeps week because football is just, you know, takes the country by storm. And it's about to start, ladies and gentlemen. The moment you thought that would never happen this year. We were all so worried. We were all so worried that it wasn't going to happen. But here it is.
I've never been happier to be wrong. One last point on that. I've never been happier to be wrong. And I am glad that they actually took those days where they met day in and day out. And they finally got down to it. We lost the Hall of Fame game, which made some people upset. But Look, I thought we wouldn't lose the entire season. I thought the season would be pushed back when they said that would happen. So they said, oh, we've got some room. We'll move things around if we have to. So I really thought that what I said about the third week in September is when they made the agreement, I really put more credence to that. I give credit. I love being wrong about this one. I love that we're going to have a season on time. And I love about 10 years apiece. We don't have to worry about this for a decade.
Yes, I know. The public will not have to poop their
pants. And if we're still doing this
for an
entire
offseason, wondering about their favorite pastime is going to happen or not.
Yeah. By the way, if you and I are still doing this in this setting a decade from now, we're just going to rename the Polish Guy podcast to the Slip My Wrist podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. It's very
positive.
We'll do
it on air.
It'll do great in California. It's so positive.
Maybe with Amy Winehouse's family or something.
Oh.
What?
Too soon, man.
What? At least I didn't say I was... No, at least I didn't say I was a roadie for Sugarland.
Yeah.
Sorry, Indiana.
they just evacuated Notre Dame
Stadium. Oh, yeah, they did just evacuate.
They're a little touchy in Indiana right now. I wonder why. All right, there's a cloud overhead. Everybody out. Everybody out. Get away. Get that kid off of there. Let's go. Sorry.
There's like a puff of smoke from a cap gun. Everybody move!
Everybody just slow down. We got to see a single file. We'll get you out of here as quickly as possible. Do not panic.
Exactly. They'll go to this very secure area, and the 747 will drop onto that area. All right, let's just get into it. Speaking of a 747 crashing into a stadium.
What division?
AFC East. Maybe that's what people in Buffalo are hoping for. Do we have... Does Buffalo have a plan? Brad Smith is your plan? Trading your only deep threat is your plan?
That's, it's a little disheartening, if you're... Because I thought last year, I thought that team was scrappy. I liked Ryan Fitzpatrick. I thought they were making strides. They weren't the prettiest football team to watch, but they put up some points and they played some pretty entertaining games for being such a crap team, basically.
Well, here's the thing. Last year, and all these, just for everybody, all these little stats, the very detailed stats are all coming from the Pro Football, the Football Outsiders 2011 Almanac.
Get ready, nerds.
The 400-page dorkule that I read every year so you don't have to.
Yes. Nerds will be happy with your standard.
Most opinion is around that, but here's the thing. This is why Buffalo doesn't have a plan. Their strength is at running back, right? I mean, they got C.J. Spiller.
It's Freddie Jackson that's the...
They got Spiller, they got Freddie Jackson.
He's the better running back on the...
Well, anyway, last year, somehow they were the team that ran the empty backfield the most in the league.
Yeah, I know.
And then you said the team looked better in the second half of the season. Well, Buffalo, the reason they looked better in the second half of the season is because they actually created a few turnovers. In the first eight games last year, they had exactly one interception on defense.
Wow. That's pretty horrible.
And then they did do one smart thing. They gave Kyle Williams some money because he's the main guy that actually played well.
Yes, and Kyle Williams, I know he's getting some run now, but he is one of the most underrated defensive linemen. Because he's not, like, when they switch to the 3-4, like, he's the type of guy, he's not big enough, you wouldn't think, to play that nose tackle in the 3-4.
Right.
But he's just, like, so tenacious that he makes it happen. It's a shame because, like, he's going to be one of them good player, bad team kind of careers, like Leroy Salmon. You know.
Well, here's the other thing. And I just want to know, I want some semblance of proof that there is some sort of plan coming. Because they get Brad Smith, and then this, they're running the 3-4, right? So their new defensive coordinator is who? Dave Wannstedt. Who's a 4-3 specialist. He's run the 4-3 his entire life.
Dave's just happy to get his little toe back in the NFL waters. He don't care. He'll coach a 3-4 right now.
I just want to see him just forget about what he's doing right now. I want him to just do a hand. What Dave Wannstedt should do, the best thing he should do to make people think that he actually knows what he's doing in the 3-4, he should get a handlebar mustache.
He should.
He's got the mustache already. Just curl that bitch up, man.
Yeah, he would look. They need to bring that back. On second thought, maybe not.
I mean, every, like, 1930s reel, the secret sneaky guy had a handlebar mustache. Yes. If Wannstedt is wearing that mustache, you know, Tom Brady is going to look over, and he's going to go, what the hell is Dave doing? I'm a little worried
look
now.
Look at that mustache over there.
Right. Actually, what's mostly, all right, is there really much else to really say about the Bills? I mean, do we just go right into the prediction here? Because, quite frankly,
I'll say one thing. And this is because I feel bad for Buffalo. They're kindred spirits to Cleveland fans in a way. With Buffalo, I just have a problem with the fact, I don't know what's going on over there. Chan Gailey is running a college offense.
Right.
Basically. It's working. Because no, but this year we'll see. Because now they're gonna have more.
Too bad God pried the ball away from Stevie Johnson against the Steelers.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. It could be one of the worst drops of all time. And as far
more
as
more proof, like, more proof that if you really want to get involved with God, you don't screw with Irish Catholics like the Rooneys.
Right.
I don't even know if they're Irish Catholic. I'm just using the Ireland thing. Just relax, religious people out there. I have no idea.
Don't worry about that right now. We'll wait till after the program.
Let's worry about Buffalo moving to Toronto, which would be terrible.
It would be terrible. It's probably going to happen. I won't say like this year or next year, but I think within 5 years, the NFL wants that to happen because they want expansion. Now, this is the last thing I'll say about Buffalo. I just have a problem. I know Fitzpatrick is the ugliest quarterback to watch, but when I watch him, he makes things happen out there. He's not the greatest quarterback in the world, but he's a guy that you could have spent the next couple of years building your team up around this guy, and he would have got, like, I think he could lead that team to the playoffs if he had
keep competent receivers like Lee Evans right. and not run a college offense?
Exactly.
Oh.
Well, actually, I think the college offense works for him.
A little bit.
It does, because he doesn't have the strongest arm, but like I said...
Don't worry... You can run any offense with him. He's from Harvard.
Yes, you can. He's not going to. It's not going to be too quick for him. So,
no, absolutely.
What's your prediction on Buffalo?
I got him at 4-12, finishing in last.
Let's see off the top of my head. Dead last sounds about right. I don't know if they're Andrew Luck material, but they're going to be close. I'm going to say 3-13.
Wow.
I do have worse teams than 3-13, by the way. I do have worse
I'm
teams.
Looking forward to that, because my worst record this year is 3-13, shared by a couple. All right, Miami's next.
Mediocre.
You know, Pro Football Outsiders, they do all these simulations. They do it based on what all the predictions say are going to happen. So
I'll simulate Miami for you right now. Mediocre. That's
third place, 6-10?
Basically, maybe 7-9. Who knows? They're going to be right in the middle of the pack on everything.
Well,
But they have Jason Taylor back. Right?
Here's the interesting thing. This actually came from Grantland.com. Bill Barnwell wrote something how the career arc so far for Chad Henne is following Drew Brees. No, the stats are there for the first 2 years.
I know Brees did suck for 2 years.
People
forget about that.
But Henne last year, his completion percentage went up, his yards per attempt went up. He was the most unluckiest quarterback in the league. He only had one dropped interception of his 19.
Damn, it does suck.
So that goes back to a median a little bit. Here's the problem. I don't think with Brandon Marshall and Devon Best they're going to have a problem throwing the football. I think Henne will be fine. And I think Cameron Wake will get his sacks. And I think the secondary is okay. But here's the thing. You lose Brown and you lose Williams. And your answer is get a rookie and a guy who can't run between the tackles and Reggie Bush.
Yes. Now, well, I'll say this, though. With Reggie Bush, he's got a little bit of a chip on the shoulder for probably the first time he's ever had in his life. So,
His very large ass ex is now married.
Yes.
So he's probably pissed off, and he probably
I don't think he really cares about that. It was fun while it lasted, but I don't think he really is. But
I think he loved that ass.
I love that.
And
ass.
I just think that he. Just,
I've never had it, and I love that ass.
I think that his biggest problem was because of what happened at USC, I don't think he would have been this way if USC didn't go and have the sanctions because of him.
Right.
He's a little bit of a recluse. And you can't date a Kardashian if you want to be a recluse.
It's true.
And I think that is the only reason they're broken up, and he misses that fat ass. Huge ass. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful ass.
Hey, like I said, I'm a fan.
So, he might run with a chip on his shoulder. The only problem is that it doesn't matter. That means he's going to break his shoulder.
But that's okay.
If he tries to run between the tackles.
It doesn't matter. He'll fight. Like, I heard something like his current girlfriend looks exactly like Kardashian.
Yeah.
But now he's in South Beach. So, women are plenty for Reggie right now.
I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I know. He's not shedding a tear.
So, that kind of blows a hole in your whole chip on his shoulder theory. Because now he's in South Beach.
I mean from the Saints, not from... personal life. I mean, from the Saints. He knew he was getting overpaid, okay? But he still, like, you could tell he wanted to stay there and he didn't want to go anywhere else. He wants a chance to prove that he can be a feature back. And Miami really was the only team
he's going to break his shoulder.
Probably.
He can't run between it. He'll try. Jake Long will give him the best block he possibly can. He's still going to dance and then break his shoulder.
Yeah, we'll see. But like that's just it. I mean, I feel bad for Dolphins fans because it's going to be ever since Dan Marino left, they just haven't. And Henning's not the answer. And I can answer that. I'll debate that article right here. Here's what it's the it factor. And I hate to go back to college now when it's a pro game, okay? But Drew Brees at Purdue had the it factor. He made things happen. He was like a one-man show on Purdue.
See,
And Henny looked exactly the same since he started as a freshman till his senior year. He got a little better.
But
he's looked like that in the pros. He just looks like a guy that just... Okay, he could probably start for you for a couple of years, but he's not gonna win you anything.
You don't think he's ever gonna develop to a top 12 QB?
No,
is what you're saying.
No,
and that's the rule of the NFL. If who you have a QB right now is not gonna be a guy you're gonna develop into a top 12 QB, then you still need to be looking for one. And see, here's the thing about Brees. You know, being the Ohio State alumni.
Yes.
I remember his games, and I remember his games against Ohio State. And it's really funny because on Football Pros, there's a big debate going on Brees, and I didn't understand it. But, you know, now that I think of it, he always choked against Ohio State. He shrank from the moment. But he was good in every other game. And he was good in bowl games, too. But at the very tippy top, because they had overcome
Ohio State. Yeah, but
that's
what, like...
He never overcame...
But that's what, like...
He never truly overcame that.
But now, like, I honestly think that because of guys like John Elway and Tom Brady, you know, the comebacks are nice. Yeah. Comebacks are nice, okay? But not every quarterback can have, like, legendary comebacks, okay? There's going to be a few here and there, and some guys just know how to make it happen more than other guys. But for some people, and Drew Brees is one of those guys... Being like a captain comeback isn't his legacy. His legacy is almost like...
Being ridiculously accurate.
Exactly. Like almost a la Warren Moon. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw for 4,500 yards a year and light you up, try to stop me. That's his legacy.
Well, even Brees last year had 22 picks.
He did it, but that's because they throw the ball like 1,500 times.
They're on the eighth running back. Anyway, yes. This isn't the Saints. I say what I said at the beginning for Miami.
Oh yeah, we're talking about Miami.
6-10, third place.
I'll say 7-9. They are scrappy.
All right,
mediocre.
Might as well get this team out of the way. New England.
Who?
Yeah. I still think they dominate. They got better on defense, in my opinion. They had some controversial cuts, but you know. Belichick is not afraid to have that sort of turnover, and his skill, he's an average drafter, but he volume drafts, so he has more successes.
Right. Which is smart. I mean, that's the average team. I mean, not everybody, you're not going to hit on every pick. Why not just get more of them and stockpile them?
This is a team that runs a spread well, but they actually ran a two tight end set over 50% of the time last year, and were very successful.
Yeah, they got two new tight ends to play with.
Who were, by the way, both draft picks last year.
Yes.
Gronkowski and Gonzalez. Hernandez.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever. It's
I'm sorry.
Same thing.
I'm all about accuracy. Like yeah,
no, Hernandez. No. I need to get it right. I'm supposed to be a professional someday. But they're good at everything on offense, which means they're deep... Their defense only has to stop people sometimes. Their biggest Achilles heel will be the same thing that's happened in the last couple of years.
Pass rush.
And if they can really stop a power run in the playoffs. Well, they decided to get Albert Haynesworth, so if he actually tries...
Well, that's why, like, I don't know if you noticed this, though. They're basically going to be running a 4-3 this year. They're going to run multiple sets, but... Their base is going to be a 4-3.
See, that's a fallacy with them. Like, they're not... They've never really been as
but
much of a
3-4
team as people
when they
want to
stop
say,
the run, you're going to see big fat ass from Albert Haynesworth and big fat ass from Vince Wilfork right next to each other, right in the middle, when they want to stop the run.
And then you're going to see some hybrids when they play together and with one
DN.
That's
why Belichick's awesome.
And you're going to see... you know, when they don't have a good strong side tight end or something like that, you'll see something like both fat asses in the middle and the best rush end in. And that's all you'll have.
Yeah, I think a lot of it actually
he'll run some like 3-1-7.
Yeah,
this
he'll
year.
Run like basically like a kids league defense and see like we're running the 5-2 right now.
And then you know what's funny? There's some questions about Brady and his age from some people, despite his 9-1 touchdown interception ratio, which will not possibly be duplicated. That's going to go back to the norm as well. I mean, he's going to have 11 picks this year. You're not ever going to see 9-1 again. It was just a complete.
How many interceptions did he end up with last year?
4.
Yeah.
With 36 TDs. You'll never see it again. It was a record.
Didn't Steve DeBerg have a year like that where it was like
34? No, that was his fumble year.
No. Steve DeBerg with Kansas City 1 year had like a 34-4 season like that. But it's not. I agree.
It was like 28-4. But yeah, the same concept is true. That will fall back to the mean. That will fall back.
I agree. I mean, not everybody's going to throw 4 picks.
Right. But my point to that is that even with all those questions, let's say he regresses a little. let's say, even if Brady falls off the planet somehow, which I would love, because I just can't stand looking at that butt chin anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's too
you
perfect.
You and Giselle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, not really. She loves him. She loves his butt chin. I guarantee it.
And with this off season, the mustache rides. Yeah.
Let's not get too personal with the Brady's, okay? That's
just because I have a camera installed in their bedroom and
if you did hypothetically have that, you could make a lot of money on the internet. From guys and gals, because
that's how I afforded this new microphone.
Oh, okay. I thought you just mugged somebody like usual, but apparently I was wrong.
I just scare people. That's all.
Yes, I'm looking at your tie right now.
It's a great tie.
Yes, it's awesome.
Here's the thing: they went ahead and got the best NFL ready quarterback, just in the third round because people didn't like him.
Yeah, he's a douche, but.
Right now, it could be the next Tom Brady
in a couple
of years. Or even this year.
It's
next
a great
year.
Situation. It couldn't have been a better situation for him.
If Brady gets Pollard again, Mallett can step into that offense, and they'll be fine.
Well, no. Brian Hoyer's the next in line. Mallett's third.
Hoyer's going to get traded. I think that's
the
big trade.
He's the next Matt Castle.
I,
one of those two is the next Matt Castle.
Yeah. It's just amazing how they do it. I don't know. We're enough. Enough fawning. Let's get to a pick here.
14-2,
13-3. First place. Jets. J-E-T-S. Jets.
This is a very polarizing team right now. I've heard people love them and people hate them this year.
I still like them, and I still have them in the playoffs. And the reason is because, like Belichick. Not only does Rex Ryan run the pressure like his daddy did, he has all these big-name guys. But he also has these little-name guys that fit very specific roles for him, like Jim Leonard.
Yeah.
Jim Leonard, he can play in Buffalo.
No, but he was a perfect guy for...
He was perfect for what they want him to do. And then they re-sign the right guys, and... A successful season from Plaxico is 40 catches, 500 yards, 6 TDs, but 5 of those in the red zone.
Yeah, well, that's the...
And that's what you're going to get, because on the other side, you've got the scary guy, Holmes, who's...
Holmes is pretty awesome.
He's one of the more complete wide receivers in the league.
He's like a wild horse. He's got a ton of talent. He just needs to be reined in a little bit at times. Like, Santonio Holmes is awesome. You know, like, he just... But nobody seemed to be able to get the most out of his talent yet. That's the scary part with Holmes. And
well,
that's what I mean
here's
with that
analogy. Here's the thing. This is... That would be the dog. That would be the dog. That would be Peyton, the Polish guy dog. Want to get that squirrel, Peyton? get that squirrel.
I would nigger on right now.
That's all right. But the thing about the Jets, and it's interesting, I like little dynamics like this in teams and how they're still going to be good. Last year, you have Holmes coming off of discipline problems. The whole reason he's traded, in fact.
Yes.
And then you have him play next to Braylon Edwards. And Braylon Edwards, not exactly the most disciplined guy in the world. In fact, pulled over DUI last year. And you replace it with Burris, who can be a mentor, because he is a guy who has made... He was made a figurehead for the whole gun policy for the right. city of New York. If you don't think Plaxico Burress isn't reformed, then you're crazy. This guy is definitely reformed.
Well, he's definitely got something to prove. I mean, he's got to make some money. You know, he wants to work. You know, he's happy to be out. I mean, it's an unfortunate situation. Like, do I think that the guy, like, I don't want to wax poetic, but he shot himself. I know you shouldn't have had a piece on him in the first place, but it could have been a lot worse. Do I think the punishment was a little harsh? You know, do I think it was a little harsh? Yes, I do. But, you know, I'm just, he's got another chance, and we'll see. But I don't really like the Jets this year. I think they're going to be good, but I don't think they're going to be AFC Championship good.
No, we'll get to that. I have them making the playoffs at 10-6. And I still think the funny thing about them that last year, they're one of the top first and second down defenses in the league last year, but they were one of the absolute worst on third down. And I think that was probably bringing too much pressure. So all the talent is there. They're still going to be a good team. The schedule's not easy as it normally is, but I still got them 10-6, second place.
I have them. Jets fans, are you ready? Ready to boo me? I have them at 8-8, missing the playoffs.
Oof. Can't wait to see who's replacing them. AFC South, starting with Houston. Now, this is also known, the AFC South this year is also known as the Peyton's Neck Division.
Yes, it is. It's very correct.
And just to get it out of the way before we get through all the teams, my opinion is this. Peyton Manning will most likely play every single game for the Colts this year. Kerry Collins is an insurance policy in case that doesn't work out because of the questions on the offensive line and the possibility of Peyton getting re-injured on that neck and ending that streak. That's why they gave $4 million to a guy that was retired. A retired guy who can run an offense still, but he cannot run this team like Peyton. Peyton is the offensive coordinator. So this is my theory, and this unfortunately, Colts fans, this can only get worse for you because my predictions are based off of this. My entire division predictions on this, the Peyton's Neck Division, is that Peyton will start slow. The last time he came off of a surgery like this, he started slow, and the Bears dominated them in that game afterwards in a rematch of the Super Bowl. The Bears beat them 29-17 that day, and Peyton Manning looked terrible, and the Bears looked good. The Bears ended up being a very average, below-average team. The Colts ended up being what they were and had a big winning streak. This year is not going to be as kind, in my opinion. So, with Houston, with the Lions being the trendy pick, this is finally their chance to be the team that wins the division. And I have Houston winning the division at a very mediocre 9-7.
Ah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I actually wholeheartedly agree with you on that. Now, I do feel that a wild card team will come out of this division.
I can't buy into that. Simply because I have the Jets as my wild card 10-6, and my division winner here is 9-7.
Right.
It is a muddled mess behind Houston.
It is a muddled mess.
Because I do, well, we'll get there, but just to finish with Houston, Houston, their question is, Wade Phillips, when he takes a new job, the defense always improves at least a little bit. And that's all they're going to need, is the least a little bit.
Wow.
And Houston starts the season against the Colts.
Yeah.
You finally get a rusty Peyton Manning. You finally get a defense that's a little bit more than competent, or maybe just competent, or maybe a little below competent, but a lot better than horrible.
Well, and here's the thing, though. Like, if you're Houston, you've spent money on Jonathan Joseph, which was a great signing for them, because
the Bengals, until recently, had one of the best pairings in corners in the league that no one talked about.
And Jefferson, they were solid corners. Jefferson's going to help, but here's the thing you got to be really excited about. J.J. Watt looks like an absolute terror so far in the preseason. Will it translate to the regular season? I don't know, but he looks like the guy that showed up for the Ohio State game every time I've seen him on the field.
But you know, the little thing about that, and again, I like to look at the little things, and I'll probably say that 11 more times because we've probably got 2 hours left in this podcast. Yeah, I know.
I know, we're like Division 2 of 8.
Here's the thing. J.J. Watt being a beast off of that side will make the transition easier for Mario Williams.
Yeah, it's going to help him out completely.
Even it doesn't matter which side. Because J.J. Watt being a terror in front of Mario Williams helps Mario Williams. J.J. Watt being a terror on the other side of Mario Williams helps Mario Williams.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Wade Phillips is going to... He's going to have to pull out all his stops because Williams isn't exactly a rush linebacker, but he's not exactly, you know, the prototypical 3-4 end, but he's going to find a way to use him. It's going to be sometimes going to have his hand in the dirt. Sometimes he's going to be standing up in the two-point stance, rushing from there, and it's going to work. I'm telling you right now. That defense is going to be, it's not going to be great, but it's going to be improved because they still have good linebackers.
Just here's proof on how they have to improve, because you can't possibly be this bad again. Put on your Dork glasses. Hold on, everybody. Okay. Mm-mm. Dork glasses on?
Oh, mine are on. I never take them off.
Okay. Their pass defense last year, according to Football Outsiders.
Worst ever?
Had two games all season where they were above average compared to the rest of the league.
Wow. That's very terrible.
You won't have that again. No. Jonathan Joseph won't let you have that again.
No, but you still have Kareem Jackson on the other side, and that's kind of scary.
And we you know, the funny thing is, if you remember us a year and a half ago, we loved that pick.
Well, everybody did, because it made complete sense. He just ended up being the worst out of all the rookie corners.
Yeah, they still look. He still has a chance.
Oh yeah,
all rookie corners struggle a little.
Well, for sure, but he looked exponentially worse than all the other first round cornerbacks. That's all I'm saying.
All rookie quarterbacks corners struggle a little. I should have said, but Kareem Jackson looked like me out there.
Right.
So I got a 9-7 first place.
I agree. That's exactly how I pegged it.
So, on to Indy. We've already talked about Peyton's neck. I hate this team. This team is all Peyton Manning and all whether or not they get a pass rush from Dwight Freeney. If Freeney doesn't rush the passer, if Peyton Manning isn't sharp, you are left with what?
Exactly the way I'm going to call it right now. A 7-9 football team.
And their schedule isn't easy. They face Houston, and they face at that point of the season, in the first 9 weeks of the season, we'll get to them. The Browns are going to look very interesting for the first 9 weeks. Oh man, I see your boner already. But
I'm surprised nobody else usually can see it.
You know, I have an affinity for thumbs in the pants.
Yeah, I know. It's,
so,
it must be a good day for me then.
Here's the thing. You don't have anything else. Donald Brown is one of the... They have sucked in the draft.
They have
really...
Tony Hugo in the second round.
Yeah.
Basically, that team's really kind of been scrapping in on offense, especially. Like, yeah, they find receivers and they find guys that can, but offensive line wise, team has not been the same since Terry Clemens retired.
And the defense is continually sliding every year.
Yes, it is. And they were hoping Jerry Hughes last year was going to help them.
And maybe he will this year. But then they do the... And we'll get to the Bears later. Don't worry. We'll get to the Bears later. But then they go after Mark Anderson of the Bears, the corpse of Tommy Harris, and then they go for Ernie Sims.
Yes, who has no instincts whatsoever. Great athlete.
Ernie Sims, here's the thing. If you're a linebacker and you can't play behind that Detroit defensive line, there's a reason they got rid of you.
Yeah, something's wrong.
There's a reason why Detroit didn't want Ernie Sims back. And that's supposed to help the solution.
Well, didn't he, who did he end up with? Wasn't he playing for Philly last year?
Oh, that's right. It's even worse.
That's even worse.
Because he didn't
all their linebackers, they got crap out of Omar Gaither his rookie year.
That's right.
Made Stuart Bradley into a decent pro, and now the trend's going to continue because Casey Matthews is going to look like a halfway decent pro this year.
Boy, total faux pas by me there, but it actually ended up solidifying my point.
Hey, you're welcome.
Thank you. I got him at 8-8, and I got him basically tied for second. And I'll tell you who's my other 8-8 shortly.
I haven't believed they're probably next.
No, Jacksonville is next. Oh. I have Jacksonville as last. This is one of these teams I'll talk about with you that I really wanted to I wanted to give them more wins. I couldn't find a way.
But that's how all Jack Del Rio teams are, though.
Jack of the River, he finds a way to always get like 8 wins out of a team. I have them at 5-11, and I hate it because I'm trying to spend so much time to figure out playoff teams, and no matter which way I figure it, they're not going to be a playoff team, but I stared at their schedule of one of the longest time periods I did of any of the teams I stared at their schedule. I couldn't give them more than 5 wins. I don't think Gerard's that good.
He's okay. And here's, like, David Gerard, actually the Blaine Gabbert pick is going to help out David Gerard more than anybody.
Well, here's the thing. They have all these defensive linemen that they've picked, right? Let's talk about the defense. Can you name their last 10-sack guy?
Their last 10-sack guy. Let me think about this. Is it Paul Spicer?
No. Bobby McCrary.
Oh, okay. But here's the thing, though. That's misleading because they have two of the best defensive tackles, like young defensive tackles right now. In the NFL, Terrence Knight and Tyson Alualu are two of the best young defensive tackles. You know, it's not going to get you sacks.
Well, that little bit of recent success doesn't tell the whole story, though. Well, Cameron's 31 now, right?
He might be 61 at this point. I don't know.
Well, that doesn't tell the whole story. That little bit of success.
Derek Harvey.
They went 1-6 before that. Of the 8 defensive players they picked in the first 3 rounds of the draft in the last few years, 3 of them play for the team right now. And, of course, Quentin Groves and Derek Harvey are the biggest offenders there.
For sure, like they can draft run stuffers all day, but they just they can't find a pass rush.
Oh look, it's in my notes. Campman is 31, and he's coming off of ACL surgery.
Yes.
Huh? Look at that.
Yeah, that's pretty good notes.
Yeah, there you go, Mr. No Notes guy.
Yeah, I know. It's like I snuck in and read those, huh?
Right.
Here's
where they're good. They have MJD.
I liked MGD better.
I do. We are drinking Genesee right now.
Unfortunately. I'll have a draw by the end of this podcast.
It's okay, so will I.
That's why I'm stopping.
Mike Thomas is okay.
Okay, losing Sims Walker is going to hurt.
Well, now Mike Thomas better be better than okay.
Yeah, but they...
But he's only okay, Mike.
And Mercedes Lewis.
Which was the dumb thing. They gave him a crap load of money to a tight end that will never...
For a slow-ass tight end that can catch.
Lewis had something like I don't know, what was it, like 8 TDs in the last 3 years and gets 10
last
year?
Oh, he's basically on his way.
And they, give him a big contract. Dumb. Dumb. And that is why I can't put... I want to call this a regular Jack of the River team, but I got him at 5-11.
I differ with you on this one.
Okay.
Not by much, but I differ. And MJD carries this team. He's the heart and soul of this team. If he stays healthy, they're going to win more than 5 games. Does not matter. They have no receivers. David Garrard, I hope they make Gabbert sit the whole season.
This is taking a turn different than I thought. Go on.
I hope they make Gabbert sit the entire season. I think this is a good thing for David Garrard, because I don't think he's like... He's not a great quarterback, but he's not horrible. He has moments where he looks terrible, but what quarterback doesn't?
Right.
Their offensive line's solid. I like their interior defensive line. Linebackers, a little iffy. I mean, they lost, who'd they lose? Justin Durant. Secondary's also a little iffy, but it's... Del Rio can make this happen. I say 9-7 wild card for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Wow, there we go. I like it.
It could even be a wild card team, but look, it could even be 8-8.
I love it. You just took all the credibility I'm trying to piss away, and you gave credibility back to this podcast.
How did I do that?
Because that's probably what's going to happen. That's one of those crazy things I didn't even think of, which means it'll happen.
I don't know. I'm not very good at this.
All right, lastly in the AFC South, we got Tennessee.
It's another lightning rod team right now.
I've got them better than expected. Here's the problem. The history of guys with no coordinator experience becoming a head coach, not good. I'm going by a lot of conventional means here. Apparently, Munchak, when he first did a 7-7 drill this offseason, wasn't sure how to do it.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. I read that out of an article.
That's the most pathetic thing I've ever heard. And I love Mike Munchak.
But here's the thing.
He's a great player. Did he text Jeff Fisher on how it's done? Or
probably.
It's probably what he had to do.
John Harbaugh was one. Jim Zorn was another. And Mike Singletary was another.
See, I don't even blame Jim Zorn, because that wasn't even his fault. Now, he just kind of backdoored into being the head coach.
Now, here's the thing. The other biggest thing about these guys that was written about in Football Outsiders, and actually is written a couple other places too, these guys become mini Andy Reids with clock management.
Ugh.
Usually. Because they've never had to do it before. They don't know anything about it. They probably should have hired Jim Tressel.
Yeah.
Back to Indy real quick.
Tressel. I wanted to touch base on that, but I forgot about that.
He's going to do what? Tell him when to challenge?
He's going to watch TV. He's getting paid to watch TV.
He is going to get blown in a suite every week just because he's friends with Jim Caldwell. I mean, that's what it is, isn't it?
And basically. Okay. Now, I thought that an added wrinkle would be if they crap out and go 6-10, could Polian hire Jim Tressel somewhere down the line as a coordinator, maybe even as a head coach? Maybe he's trying to learn the pro game this year. Maybe he knows that he doesn't, because there is that difference between college and the pros. Maybe he's going to sit there and maybe learn the pro game a little bit this year and then look for a pro coaching job. That would be a smart career move, I think.
Yes. Yes. And I have nothing else to add, because that's exactly what I was thinking on that. And getting back to Tennessee, and this is why it's so crazy. I have them 8-8 on an outside shot. But here's the thing. We've got that against them. We've got Hasselbeck's back that is a strike against them.
That's what I was
going
to say, because if Hasselbeck...
We've got a change in a defensive scheme because Chuck Cecil is gone with Jeff Fisher.
Okay.
You re-sign Chris Johnson, but he'll probably get hurt, because that's what always happens in this scenario.
Well, I'm going to do the exact same thing that we just did on the last team. I think They're probably going to... What's going to happen is Hasselbeck's back is going to fall off. And then at that point, the Jake Locker era begins. Which, Locker's looked better than I thought he has in preseason, but that don't mean anything right now. I think once it's said and done, like, it's basically Locker's team halfway through the year, and they're going to win 5 or 6 games. I'm going to say 6-10 for Tennessee.
Okay, folks, we're through two of the 8 divisions in the league.
25% for all you nerds out there.
This is definitely going to be a 2-parter podcast, about an hour and a half each, and it's going to be splendid. But right now, we're going to take our first commercial break where, well, I've been drinking some beer, so I got
to
pee.
It's always good to let the audience...
All right, folks, we're back. You didn't miss anything because I put on pause.
Yeah.
All right, on to the AFC North. And we'll start
best division in football.
It is. It really might... Well, it might be.
Well,
we'll start with Baltimore. Go ahead.
Baltimore is going to be the same old Baltimore. Flacco will be a good yet not spectacular quarterback. Ray Rice is going to be a beast. The defense with Nada and Ray Lewis will be, you know, the tits. And basically, they're going to go 11-5, and they're going to be in second place in their division.
I got them at 12-4 in the second place. Yeah. And
spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. The Lee Evans steal, which I can't get over. I mean, what a perfect compliment to what they want to do in the middle of the field with Dixon and Rice out of the backfield and Bolden on the other side.
Don't forget about their biggest offseason acquisition, Vonta Leach.
Yes.
Fullback Vonta Leach is their biggest offseason acquisition.
Because
that tells me that they're committed to Ray Rice. They shipped everybody that could take it.
I was very happy to get Ray Rice at the fourth pick last night in a fantasy draft, because everything I've read, everything I've heard, everything that I could possibly believe in tells me Ray Rice is getting the goal line carries now, and Vonta Leach is going to open up huge holes. Then you got...
huge holes? Huge. Are we still talking about football?
No, we're probably talking about my whore of a dog.
Oh. Ew.
According to the stats of football...
That's pretty vile.
Well, you know.
That's a vile visual to have right now.
Well, you know, she is a whore.
Well, that's... not many listeners know that that's an inside joke.
Yes, it is an inside joke.
That his dog is a streetwalker. It's a prostitute. Total hole bag.
Right. The Football Outsiders.
I'm glad I just announced that to everybody.
I probably mentioned it. It's okay. I probably mentioned it with Blotnick on a podcast at some point, so don't worry about it. Flacco, his ratings through the first 3 years of him starting, very similar to the ratings that Tom Brady had. Of course, the biggest thing that the Ravens have to overcome is the continuous age on defense. Which I think what we just described, they can overcome on offense.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dennis Pitt is good. You know, already mentioned Dixon.
They have weapons. It's not like Baltimore of circa 8 years ago where they didn't have the weapons that they
did. And if they need to, they got Bernie Pollard.
Yeah. I forgot.
I'll tell you what, with Nada... Zibikowski and Pollard, this is the team you do not... And Ray Lewis, you do not want to be caught in an alley with this team.
No, especially if you're Tom Brady. He still has nightmares over Bernie Pollard.
Brady...
And Welker, too.
And Welker.
He just scared him into blowing his knee out.
Yes.
He's the knee killer. Bernie Pollard, the knee killer.
Thing is, look, Lewis is declining... But he can still tackle like a son of a bitch.
Well, he's the heart and soul of that team. Just his presence alone out there is going to make that defense better than...
And don't forget, they still have Suggs and Sergio Kindle.
Yes, I mean, I'm interested to see how they're going to use him, Kindle, because he's not really, like, he doesn't really fit.
In the preseason, he's been a terror on quarterbacks and almost blocked a punt.
Yeah.
Take that as you will. I mean, by the way, he did that in the same game, you know, a couple sacks and a blocked punt. But this team's going to be fine. I got him at 12-4. There's not much else to say about Baltimore. They're just a solid team, and they're not getting worse. They're getting better, and they pulled a coup at the end of when everyone thought everything was done.
I was legitimately pissed about the Lee Evans thing when I seen what they gave up to get him.
So was the you know who wasn't pissed? The razor store in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Well, the straight razor store.
Well, I'll say this: I just thought that maybe the Memphis Grizzlies GM somehow took over Buffalo.
Oh, Sam Presti.
Yeah, out of nowhere. Did he call and say, hey, I'm from the Lakers. I mean, the Baltimore Ravens, and we'll just give you players.
Well, moving on to the Bengals.
Yeah, that's pretty much sums it up right there. This is in my running for one of the worst teams in football right now.
You know, although I'll tell you what, by the numbers, read Football Pro, Football Outsiders, read it. There's a lot of Bengals fans on Chris Collinsworth's website.
Obviously.
Well, yeah, obviously. A lot of them seem to think that Cedric Benson is good. Cedric Benson is good in only one scenario. When the Bengals are actually up early and they rush him 35 times. In those games, he's amazing. He always ends up with a couple of scores at about 150 yards. Every other game, he's the 2 yard sed that everyone knows and hates.
Well,
and by the way, that 2 yard sed, he's starting the season in jail.
20 days. I mean, I'll tell you what, though. There's really no more fun of a guy to go yachting with than Sed.
Apparently not.
He's a stitch.
Well, clubbing now, too.
Yeah, he's...
I'll tell you what, it's
a lot of fun in his entourage.
There's only really one other question we can answer about this team. Look, you got a rookie quarterback. The defense is good. They will keep them in some games.
I wouldn't necessarily go as far as to say that they're good.
They're good enough that they're going to keep them in some games.
It's better than their offense. But I'll say this, though. Here, if you want Bengals fans, if you want some positives, I'll be more than happy to tell you what they are. Ray Maluga moving back to middle linebacker.
Good.
It's a natural position. Good.
Yep.
Still have Leon Hall to an extension. Very good. D'Amato Pecco, underrated. Good.
Very underrated.
Michael Johnson... Could he break out at defensive end this year? Carlos Dunlap, if he's healthy on defense.
Who led the team in sacks last year by playing basically half the season?
Carlos Dunlap.
Mm-hmm.
He's hurt right now, but I don't think it's going to be anything like super long term. But we'll see. If he stays on the field, expect big things out of him this year. On offense, Jerome Simpson. Fantasy guys. Jerome Simpson is going to break out. If somebody can get him the ball.
Shipley doesn't drop anything.
Shipley's a solid slot receiver. Offensive line, they just re-signed Whitworth, which was another smart move. Offensive line's okay. You know, you still got Sed Benson, and Bernard Scott's a good compliment to him. The only question is that, A, it's the Bengals. B, it's the Carson Palmer saga.
You don't trust gingers. That's what it is.
No, it's the Carson Palmer saga right now. Is he going to come back? Is he not coming
back? And that's our last question. He's not coming back, right?
I don't know. Because now, like, out of nowhere, he just shows up and is talking to the team. He's like a wrestler who's been out on injured leave now coming back, you know, getting ready for the big pay-per-view. Palmer's entrance music!
This would be much better if the NFL was wrestling right now, because that's exactly what would happen. There'd be a superstar feigning injury before a big fight. He can't fight. Some guy's thrown in there. You get to the main event, and all of a sudden, you hear the wrestler's music.
Yeah.
Like, It's Cena!
Yeah.
He's gonna fight on a broken leg! Buy my barbecue sauce!
Well, that's just like, that's the main question with this team, and it's gonna be hanging over them like a black cloud all season. Because if Dalton starts, they are also going to go 3-13.
And unfortunately, I have them at 3-4, 3-13.
3-14. Wow, they're going to be terrible if they lose.
They're going to make the playoffs, but lose. No, 3-13.
Wild card.
Yeah, wild card. The AFC's that bad, other than the top four.
The AFC's pretty.
And maybe that might be true. I don't think Palmer's coming back. I don't think anyone can go back on their word at this point. Mike Brown is certainly not going to be the one that does that. It's going to be some way that...
Like, you mean Vince McMahon?
Vince McMahon. Right. Anyway, last team, the Cleveland Browns. Next to last team, I'm sorry.
That's me cheering for the Cleveland Browns.
I will let you spout off for a few minutes after I give you my prediction.
Yes.
I have the Browns starting...
You mean verbally?
Verbally.
Or physically?
Well, it depends on how you feel about it.
Because I'm liking what I'm seeing right now, but...
I have them starting 5-2. And then just as everyone's getting into the mix, you get in the middle and late rounds of the season. And the Browns' problem is two specific things. Still questions about pass rush and overall depth of the team. And when you get into that middle to second half, final quarter of the season, the depth shows. And then, unfortunately, they basically play Baltimore-Pittsburgh, somebody else, Baltimore-Pittsburgh, then the season.
That's going to kill them.
And it's going to be murder, and all those good feelings about the 5-2 start and the depression that Cleveland is going to sink in. But the thing is, it's going to be an improvement. This is an improved team. This is a great system from Colt McCoy. I have them finishing third at 8-8. Go.
8-8? Wow. You're more generous than I am. I agree with 99% of everything that you just said. My mantra for the season is growing pains with potential. And Browns fans, we're kind of like psycho chicks. We get a little bit too emotional over certain things. Like, two great games in the preseason, we're just, like, off the hook. Like, this team's going to the Super
Bowl. Your offensive linemen get emotional. They throw beanbags in the eyes of referees.
And Orlando Brown was actually an underrated offensive lineman, but that's neither here nor there. He was actually pretty good.
Okay.
Ravens picked him up after he was suspended for a year or whatever, but...
All right, what are they doing this year?
Well, as far as the Browns, Colt's going to look a lot better. Is it far enough along to say that he's the answer quarterback, at least for the next couple of years? It's a little too early to tell. I'm trying not to get emotional. Running game, I think Peyton Hillis isn't going to duplicate what he did last year, but I think it's still going to be very good. And I think that's more or less because, A, they don't want him to get killed, because he got beat up last year by Mangini. Mangini just beat him up. I don't think that's going to happen this year. So his numbers aren't going to look as good.
Well, and here's the thing. Cleveland, around here, everyone's talking about Montario Hardesty, who has had more surgeries than, I don't know, Mark Schlereth.
Yeah. it's pretty close.
They have Brandon Jackson, too.
Yes. And
who's not bad.
He's okay. He's
He can take those carries away, and he's a physical guy.
He's exactly what you want out of a backup running back.
Yes.
That's why, like... All the moves, I think, have been smart. And actually, if you followed them closely, the free agency moves, there wasn't very many. Which is smart, because now they're re-signing their talent. They just signed Evan Moore. They re-signed Joe Thomas. They're going to re-sign Hillis. Colt looks good. He's probably going to have an extension coming. And then on defense, Phil Taylor looks like an absolute monster right now. And that is... I mean,
do you want to make an apology?
Yes, I do. Because maybe I pissed him off because I was so upset because I didn't understand the pick at the time. And that's just me being a fan. Because you want, you know, like, oh, we got the superstar. Well, defensive tackles aren't superstars, but he's looking like he's going to be a beast. Jabal Sheard, I think, looks better than he's getting credit for right now. because he goes up against Joe Thomas every day.
I thought that he's looked good.
Yeah, I thought he's looked better than you throw a rookie out there to start from day one with no competition. He's looked okay. DeQuals looked great. Can he stay on the field? Fujita, you know,
he's gonna play.
He's good. Just your solid veteran linebacker. Hayden looks like a superstar. T.J. Ward looks like a superstar in the making. I wouldn't say necessarily like super duper star, but pretty damn good. So, does this translate into wins, Browns fans? No, because there's going to be growing pains with potential. So you're going to go 6-10 this year. You're going to lose some close games. You're going to win some close games. You're going to look good. You're going to look bad. But the main thing is that everybody's on the same page, front office down. And in 2 years, they're going to be in the playoffs. And they're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
I think it might be sooner than that. But I like what you say about the team. So again, I have 8-8, third place. I can easily subtract a win or two out of that because I do have them beating the Colts in week two. That's my big thing about the Colts finishing 8-8 is the Colts starting 0-2.
Yeah, but see the thing, that's the type of game that the Browns will just dunk off early in the season. A game that they probably, especially if Peyton's
rusty.
Remember
how terrible the Browns were a couple of years ago and they lose that 15-13 game?
Yeah, I mean, it happens every freaking year. I mean, it happens to a lot of teams.
I'm saying it won't happen this year.
Thank you, but it will.
Finally, Pittsburgh. Look, there's only one thing. I have them at 12-4 in first place, and there's only one theory on Pittsburgh. They go out and they go ahead and they, and really kind of what I said earlier is all I really need to say. They re-sign their own guys that they needed to re-sign. They did what they did. They give a big deal to the young linebacker while not giving the big deal to the older linebacker, which is what they've done since the Greg Lloyd days. And then they re-sign Ike Taylor when it looked like Ike Taylor was going to leave. And then they get yet another new hybrid toy in Cameron Hayward, who he hasn't looked great yet, but you know LeBeau is going to find a way to... The biggest thing that people need...
Well, he's not even going to see the field this year.
No, he's not. And that's how Pittsburgh does it.
That's exactly...
He won't see the field until next year. Until
he's ready.
And then here's what's going to happen. Just like all those other guys, like Levon Kirkland and all those other guys, a couple years from now, when Harrison is going to leave and they let him leave, he's going to be the next. You got all this. You got Timmons, you got Woodley, you got all this stuff. We said Ziggy Hood would eventually be good, and he's starting to look like he's going to eventually be good.
And Hayward's going to play that five technique end.
Right.
So, that's the thing. They picked the one. They've picked two Ohio State guys mm-hmm. on the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Thaddeus Gibson, who they figured out really quickly couldn't play football. Cut him. He was like Vernon Golston light. And Cam Hayward, who can play football. Who's going to do just like Ziggy Hood did. Sit a year. Soon as those guys start to break down, injuries, he's going to get a shot. And he's going to look good doing it. And Ohio State fans are going to be pissed that a good Buckeye went to Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Unless you like both teams, which...
And then they've got the other solution to the other problem is... They have problems with their offensive line. But, of course, they have one of the biggest beasts at quarterback who makes plays even when there's a guy wrapped around him. And, yes, Roethlisberger takes his sacks on third down more than most quarterbacks in the league, but it's because he's the guy trying to make the play. And the only thing that Pittsburgh fans, six-pack fans, have to worry about is that they have to somehow grasp with the fact that their team is now a passing team and not a running team.
Yes, that's going to upset.
That's so upsetting.
But not really. I mean, like, Mendenhall is still going to get 1,000 yards.
Yep. Yeah, sure.
It's not going to be 1,200, but he's going to get 1,000.
He's going to get 1,100 yards and 9 TDs, and everybody's going to be happy.
But big story is Antonio Brown out of their camp is looking like an absolute, like just another guy ready to step in.
Like Mike Wallace 2 years ago.
Yes, and they still have Hines Ward, and you still have Heath Miller.
And Hines Ward, he's that guy. And that's the thing. Hines Ward is a guy that knows Roethlisberger so well, he knows exactly where to be when he starts scrambling.
Right.
He's that guy. Hines Ward is the guy that he might only make four catches a game, but one of those is going to be for a touchdown on third down, and the other two are going to make a first down on third down.
Exactly.
So, 12
and he's going to beat up the poor corner.
I got him 12-4, first place, first round bye.
13-3, first place, first round bye.
Yep.
I think pretty much in agreement. Although, I would love to see that entire team get struck by lightning and then go 0-16 and have no byes in the first round because they'll be all at home. That's what I'd like to see. But that's just me being a Browns fan. I'm sorry. But
fair enough.
I have respect for Pittsburgh. I do. let's go. I do have respect for them.
He does. He just wants to see you die.
Hey, that's pretty respectful.
Slow, painful death.
Yeah.
No, actually, he has enough respect to say that he said plane crash. You said plane crash, right?
No, I said struck by lightning.
Oh, well, that's instantaneous.
Yeah.
Okay. So, he has enough respect that he wants Pittsburgh to die quickly.
Yeah.
If he didn't have respect for you, he would want you to die slow.
Yeah. I think every guy
watches his wife on the rack before before the finger game is played, which is where they cut off one finger. You eventually bleed to death because you're bleeding from. That was medieval times. I'm a historian.
I guess I thought that was just like in Mexican Drug War or something like that. They do that now.
And in Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay.
Great show.
Yes.
AFC West.
Denver.
I've got Football Outsiders says this is about a 5-6 win team, and they have a 14% chance to make the playoffs. I think it's more than that. I really love their pass rush with Dumervil and Miller. I think Orton is that ultimate. As long as they don't get stupid and decide to play Tebow for half a year or some crazy, stupid thing.
It's not happening.
Or even play Quinn for a second.
It's not happening.
Unless Orton is average. He will not make the big mistake. I love Neckbeard. And yes, at best, Neckbeard is Bill Hicks.
He looks like Bill Hicks.
Anyone who doesn't know comedians, look up comedian Bill Hicks. Look up Kyle Orton without the neckbeard.
And then they both have pictures with beards, too. So you can compare them beard and no beard. And you would think that I separated
it. It's a beautiful thing. It really is a beautiful thing. Something to behold. But I like this team a lot more than others. But they still have holes. They still have plenty of holes. I still don't think they have a running back. Who knows what you're really going to get out of the receiving core. But they'll figure some stuff out. And the pass rush is good. And you probably got another 2 years in that secondary, Champ Bailey and company. I've got them at 7-9 in third place.
See, I'm a little bit more generous. I agree with, because we were having this discussion earlier about the Broncos.
The said piss break was also a smoke break where we actually talked about the Broncos. But
yes, we did. Because I like the Broncos this year. That's one of those organizations that will suck for 1 year, get a great player, i.e. Champ Bailey, Von Miller. Von Miller looks like the real deal. And then they're going to be back to being relevant again. That's how, just the past 20 years, that's how they've been. They're going to have one crappy year. They're going to be right back in it. Okay, Orton's going to look good. It's going to be running back by committee, but John Fox will figure out how to run the ball because they have a good offensive line, especially if Clady's healthy. Defensively, I agree. I mean, Dumervil and Von Miller could be pretty sick for the next couple of years. Linebackers, I don't know. Interior defensive line doesn't look that great. They still have Champ Bailey, who I know he's like a mummy out there. He's ancient, but he can still play. Do they still have Dawkins on that team, too?
Yes.
So, I mean, they got two mummies back there. Imhotep and Tutankhamun are in their defensive secondary. And they know how to make plays. Parrish Cox, if he's not in jail.
By the way, it's the only podcast that you'll ever find that makes fun of the Winehouses and refers to Egyptian history.
Yes, I know. That's Quite a little nugget there.
Thank you.
And, but it's true. But I'll say this. Denver, you're going to be one of the surprise teams this year. However, not surprising enough to make the playoffs. But you're going to be 9-7, and you're just going to miss the playoffs. That's how I feel. Unless it's injury, Orton's taken every snap for the Denver Broncos this year.
I agree. I don't have it at 9-7, but I have it at 7-9.
You should agree.
I do.
Because I'm correct. Some of the time.
Correct. Well, remember my Twitter mantra for the podcast is, we strive to get predictions right, but results may vary.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I think that's fitting.
Kansas City, you will be disappointed this year.
Oh, yeah.
Look, again, the fallacy about schedules is most people look at schedule strength and look at who they played last year. And that is one of my biggest gripes about anything that anyone ever does when it comes to sports stats. Thankfully, some people look at their opinions, including Football Outsiders, including myself in my own way, how I think teams are going to be this year and look at schedule strength that way. Kansas City, I see them being a fall off because, again, despite having Jamar Charles, who is the best back probably in the entire National Football League, they decide to give a ton of carries to Thomas Jones. This inside-outside thing might work in college. It might have worked in the 40s. In the NFL, a two-back system works, but they give Thomas Jones too many carries at his age. Todd Haley has basically said in the press that he's gone back and forth on a little bit on it, but overall, the majority of his statements have said, I don't care what you think, I'm going to do what I do.
That's the type of guy he is to begin with, though. Well, if you've ever seen anything with Todd Haley in the past, he's very stick-to-his-convictions type of guy, to say the least. Enough to verbally, swearingly tirade at you.
Yes. And here's what they have to face in a five-game stretch this year. Packers, Bears, Pats, Steelers.
And a hurricane. Yeah, that's...
I got him a 7-9, and I've got him basically tied for second place with Denver.
See, nope. I have the Kansas City Chiefs. I know they got Jared Gaither on their offensive line, which was a question, so now they can move Brandon Albert either to his natural position of guard or right tackle. I'm not really
sure.
Or
he can just leave the league and get a Prince Albert.
Yeah, he could do that. I don't want to be there for that.
No, I don't want to be the one giving that.
No, I don't want anything to do with it, but that would be pretty funny and ironic. Defense, I mean, Taba Holly is the real deal as far as a pass rusher goes. That Andy Studebaker is a solid compliment on the other side. Tyson Jackson is the invisible man. Glenn Dorsey's looked pretty good. Secondary, I mean, Brandon Flowers is okay. I mean, they got talent on this team. Castle, I'm not ready to anoint him as, I think he's a legitimate starter. But just based on their playoff performance last season, the way they just folded over like a paper bag, It's going to carry over this season. And I have them finishing last in the division.
Oh, that bad.
That bad.
First to last. What's the prediction?
It's going to be 5-11.
Okay. Well, we're not too far off. Oakland.
I can't get
Mike Silver.
I can't get a gauge on this team, can you?
It's hard. They have a great ground game, but they're turning over a coach for no reason.
Typical Raiders fashion.
You got Gallery and Miller going to Seattle just to follow Cable, who's now the O-line coach there. So you've got some of the upheaval on a couple of guys that he turned into really good players. Gallery as a guard, I mean, he never was going to be that tackle. Of course, I had particular joy in realizing that long last, Terrell Pryor and Chimney Chekwa could be together again in the third and fourth round picks. And
here they are.
As usual, the Raiders, they're going to win a sprint against other teams.
Yeah.
But unfortunately,
if it's like a 1,000-yard dash between every player,
Raiders are
3-1 lock.
I don't know what Mike Silver's doing. I understand he's a West Coast guy. I understand he's very, very in tune to what's going on there. And he's also got the Raiders in the AFC Championship game. Look, more power to him. He's a professional. I'm not a professional yet. I'm drinking during my podcast.
That's professional.
I think so.
That's how they used to do it back in the old days in the 50s, damn it.
Yeah! And we're going to go get him, see?
Yeah.
Well, we also didn't used to let our wives out of the kitchen. They used to be chained to the stove. But...
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand. You know, he hires Chuck Bresnahan, whose last job was in the UFL with the Florida Tuskers. And
that's
apparently
a good, solid organization, the Tuskers.
He's supposed to be a coordinator now on the side of football. He's never been a coordinator before.
The Raiders. Well,
Here's the good things. They run the football well. It's a good offense for Campbell.
Campbell's super.
Derek Hagan will probably be pretty good on the other side of the guy that can't catch anything, Darius Hayward Bay. But then you throw in the other stuff. They lose those guys. They overpay for Cameron Wembley, as you would know.
Yeah, that. I mean, what did they give him, like $28 million guaranteed?
Oh, money? Ridiculous.
I mean, granted, he had a good year for them.
And then here's the thing. You know, you ignore the good stuff they did. Like, Gerald Valdir was good.
Yeah, he was a steal last year. I mean, he's their starting left tackle now.
But still, all I can find it amounting to, and this
Stefan Wisniewski this year.
Yeah, and all I can find it amounting to this year is 6-10.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty much the same read I have on them. I mean, the only difference, though, is that they do have... I mean, I don't know how Hugh Jackson is going to coach, but just the appearance I get, he's going to be kind of a laid-back coach. He's going to let Richard Seymour kind of police the defense.
Well, you know, that's how it always goes, though. When you have a coach that throws his assistant through a table,
yeah,
the next guy is probably going to be the guy that doesn't throw his assistant through a table.
Yeah, well, Al Davis...
That's a baseball thing, by the way. You always see the baseball hires are like that.
Right.
It's actually true in football, too.
Yeah.
Nowadays. You 30 years ago.
Everybody was a hard-ass 30 years ago. Now you have some guys that are laid back, some guys... and I think certain teams need a kick on the ass, and certain teams need a laid-back coach. The Raiders, you don't know what they need. They need Grandma L... and his old lady grandma glasses to stop, you know, basically stop what he's doing right now, just drafting with speed. But he can find some football players. Lamar Houston's a star in the making at defensive end. I mean, Wembley looked good. I mean, McLean looked, you know, pretty average for a rookie linebacker. Their secondary's okay, but losing Asamoah is going to... Nobody's talking about... The fact that everybody's talking about Philly gaining Asamoah, nobody's talking about Oakland losing Asamoah. So here's what's going to happen. Certain guys are going to have a good season. Namely, Wembley will have a good year. Lamar Houston on defense. Darren McFadden will have a good year. Jason Campbell will be his average to above average self. And Kevin Boss will catch a few touchdowns. And they're going to end up 7-9.
And finally, finishing the AFC and finishing this half of the two-part podcast, San Diego Chargers. And Norv Turner has been a pretty lucky guy in his life. He's been able to coach some really, really good players. He's had a pretty decent...
Does he have one or two rings with the Cowboys, Norv Turner?
I don't remember when he actually left to Washington. I want to say one.
I think he only has the one ring.
I think he only had one. But man, does he get a break here of having a team that bulks up again on the number one defense, yardage-wise, and gets Vincent Jackson for a whole year, and because they didn't make the playoffs last year, get a slightly easier schedule. To me... despite the fact that they can't run, and it really doesn't matter, apparently, because Phillip Rivers still had the sixth best passing season on record last year.
Hey, he's a bona fide stud. I mean, Rivers, I mean, he's one of those guys when they talk about best quarterbacks in the NFL, he's right there at the top. He's top five as far as I'm concerned. I don't know if he's not better than Brady or Manning if he's healthy, or Drew Brees and him, I think, are actually closer than people think as far as talent-wise.
Yeah, it's still insane, though, how they can have something this talented, and I don't think losing Ron Rivera will be that big of a deal.
No.
I want to thank Chris Collinsworth personally for that, by the way.
Really?
He gave me some insight on the new defensive coordinator there at San Diego and said basically, nah, he'll be fine. So I thank Chris for that, even though he'll never hear this. But it's okay because San Diego, I got 11-5 in first place. I mean, they just cruise right back up to the top.
Yeah, they're gonna win. I think they're gonna win more games than I think they're gonna win 12. I'm one upping you.
Oh, you son of a!
They're gonna win 12 games. They're gonna be right back in the playoffs, and then
smack you in your whore mouth.
Try it, Buster. But here's what I think: that's the Genesee talking.
The Genesee.
Oops.
Genesee does talk.
Yeah, it certainly does. Here's the thing with the Chargers, though. Like, for some reason, Norv Turner has a guardian angel, and his name is Marty Schottenheimer. And Marty Schottenheimer is not even dead. But they had the same career correlation. So, it's going to be the same result. Win your division, make the playoffs, and maybe go to the Super Bowl, but I don't want to spoil anything. Because we still got...
That'll be the second half of the podcast.
And that'll be this in our eighth half of the podcast tomorrow night here on the Jerry Lewis Podcast-a-thon.
If you want to donate to the podcast,
please
call 555-SHIT. 555
toll free. It's toll free. You got to tell me.
1-800-555-SHIT. But that is it.
I bet you that's taken.
Probably is. All right, rundown. We're finishing the AFC. This is the end of part one. Part two, we're going to be recording very shortly with another smoke break.
Maybe.
And a piss break.
Probably.
And the my final tally on the AFC playoff teams are New England, Pittsburgh, San Diego, Houston, Baltimore, and New York. Yours?
Let's see if I can remember. All right, let's go by division. I had Jacksonville,
Houston,
New England. I sound like a retard. Pittsburgh and the Chargers,
and Baltimore.
Yeah, it's hard when you have no notes and you don't write anything down.
He really does not prepare.
I have nothing.
Well, he does prepare. He just never actually brings any.
No, I don't.
He does for the draft. For the draft, he does.
Barely. I do all my research in the weeks building up when I'm reading everything I possibly can. But I do the same thing with the preview. My information is, it's below average, but it does the job with no notes. That's my cop-out.
Fantastic. And if you want to
listen... Right, you are, Ken.
We'll be back with part two very shortly. And appreciate you getting through this first half. And we've got another half to go of great football fun. So good to have football back. Talk to you again soon, folks.